This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is KT McFarland, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for President Reagan. She also served under Presidents Nixon and Ford. She's currently a national security analyst for the Fox News Channel and the host of Fox News DEFCON 3, an online program every Wednesday between 2 and 3 at live.foxnews.com. And we want to get her thoughts on the unrest in the Middle East, specifically what we're seeing in the way that the Libyan government under Muammar Gaddafi is brutalizing his own people. And KT, thank you so much for your time today.
Great pleasure.
Well, this was certainly an issue that you had to deal with during the Reagan administration. 1986, of course, we saw the military strikes against Libya. As you watch the way that this dictator is brutalizing his own people, what do you make of the Obama administration response, and how does it compare with what you think it ought to be?
Well, I think that Libya is now going to be headed for a civil war. Gaddafi is not going to step down, but he's lost control of what he needs to do to control the country. He's lost control of the east, which is where the oil wells are. The army is fracturing, and he's losing support of some of the tribes. But he's not going anywhere, because he knows if he does, he'll probably be tried for war crimes. So he's in this to be martyred, and he's in it to fight to the finish. So you could well see a protracted civil war in Libya. Now, what does that mean? Well, the United States has been kind of limp about criticizing Gaddafi, the same way we've been a little limp and turned a deaf ear to criticizing the Ahmadinejad regime in Iran. As a result, I think we're going to be in a very different position as far as having any seat at the table, any ability to influence events. And the problem I find with Libya is a couple things. First of all, they're an oil exporter, particularly to Europe. Their oil is mostly onshore, not offshore. So if there's a civil war in Libya, that means their oil ability to you know, produce oil is greatly compromised. They've also started evacuating Europeans and other people who work in the oil fields. So I think Libya could be off the oil grid for a period of time. But what it will do is, if Libya, unlike Egypt, unlike Tunisia, Libya doesn't really have a group of people who can step in and take charge in an interim period. Their army is not like the Egyptian army. So if you do have a protracted civil war situation, and particularly if it's a chaotic situation, who moves in to fill the power vacuum? Often it's the most well-organized opposition. In this case, it's the Islamic extremists. So if they're moving in to Libya, and particularly into eastern Libya, that then threatens to destabilize Egypt. And you could start seeing these dominoes fall one after another with not a good result for us.
KT, you mentioned that there may not be a natural successor to Gaddafi if his regime is toppled. Is that one of the reasons why the Obama administration is treading lightly here?
Because no, I think the Obama administration really is caught. Events are moving more rapidly than the Obama administration has been able to come up with a policy. You know, our policy in the Middle East right now should be a different one than it was a year ago. You know, we have had an uneasy relationship with a lot of the autocratic dictatorships because they provided security, which is what we needed in the region. Those are now being swept from power. So rather than somehow try to prop these up, we should be on the right side of history. But what we should do is become active in these areas. You know, there are two examples in my lifetime of a similar situation to what you saw in Tahrir Square last week. One is when the Berlin Wall came down. When that happened in 1989, 1990, the Bush 41 administration, the Reagan administration, they rushed into that region with the kind of soft power assistance those Eastern European countries needed in order to set up the structures for consensual government. Now, those are countries which didn't have political parties, that didn't have free press, independent judiciary, that didn't have constitutions. So the Reagan and Bush administrations helped them set those things up. We gave them the tools. We didn't tell them what to do. We just said, here are some tools to help you do it. What the contrast to that is, when the Shah was toppled in 1978-1979, the Carter administration, having pulled the rug out from under the Shah, then sat on their hands and said, no, we're not going to get involved. This is Iran for the Iranians. We don't want to have our fingerprints on this. We're not getting involved. So as a result, what did you see? The Shah was toppled by Islamic extremists. So we're in a situation now where what happens in the next 6, 12, 18 months is going to affect us for the next 30 years. Because if things go badly, you could see from Tunisia all the way potentially to Saudi Arabia, Iran, maybe even all the way over to Pakistan, in the hands of Islamic jihadist governments who control the world's energy supplies and are bent on extending a caliphate and Sharia law. On the other hand, you could see those countries all being some form of democracy, you know, their own version of democracy, but living in peace with each other. And I think those are pretty high stakes, and the United States cannot afford to sit this one out and hope for the best, because the best isn't going to probably happen by itself.
Yeah, a lot of people surprised today in Hillary Clinton's statement. It was very brief on Libya. She condemned the violence and actually spent more time talking about Bahrain than she did on Libya. You mentioned soft power, KT. What would that look like if we were to exercise that more forcefully?
You would do a couple of things, and it would depend on which country. For example, Egypt has to rewrite a constitution now. Well, we have something in Philadelphia called the National Constitution Center with constitutional lawyers and experts who helped write the South African constitution. They could help the Egyptians write a new constitution according to what the Egyptians want. Secondly, the Egyptians don't have a tradition, as I said, of free press, independent judiciary, political parties, or political organizing even. We could help them with that, not because we would tell them what to do, but we could give them the tools to do it. You know, running, setting up a political party and running for office, that's something that the Egyptians have never done, not 5,000 years. So, again, we could help them with that. Immediately in Iran or in Libya, both are countries where the regimes have turned off the Internet, social networking, and all that, we can help them by setting up alternate servers. You know, there's that movie Pirate Radio, where in the 1960s, a ship was off of Great Britain and beamed in forbidden rock music. Well, we could have pirate internet, where we could have something off the shore of Iran, off the shore of Libya, that would provide them with internet servers, so they could have their own consensual change of government.
Well, certainly very interesting, but in Libya certainly looks to be a very bleak outlook, especially if your predictions of a protracted civil war are correct. KT, thank you very much, as always, for your time.
Great pleasure.
KT McFarland, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for President Reagan, also served in the Nixon and Ford administrations. She's now a national security analyst for Fox News and host of FoxNews.com's DEFCON 3, which can be found online every Wednesday from 2 to 3. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.